This is Maurice Jones-Drew, and you're listening to the What's Brewing Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for West Coast Bias, the show brought to you all the way from the best coast. It's the West Coast Bias, that is. Aw, yeah.
Hello, and welcome to West Coast Bias. I'm your host, Jake Merrifield, and this was originally going to be part of episode 10. 1 year anniversary episode of West Coast Bias, by the way. But we ended up spending a good 24 minutes with Nick Hamilton, and then we did like an hour and a half of a What's Brewing show / West Coast Bias show. So I decided to split this up into two episodes. Of course, you can read What's Brewing show on Twitter at What's Brewing show, and our Gmail is whatsbrewingshow@gmail.com. You can support us on Patreon for just $1.50 a month, and we'll have some extra content coming to you. We already did a preview of the opener against Cincinnati on the road last week, and we'll be doing one for San Diego State very soon. So please support us on Patreon for just $1.50 a month. And also, you know, Jamal is at KingsPapa1015, Mike is at The Big Disco, and I'm at WBJake68. Bill is, of course, not on Twitter. But here is the first part of episode 10 of West Coast Bias, and that would be an interview with none other than Nick Hamilton, and that's at Nick Hamilton LA on Twitter. And here we go.
And here on the West Coast Bias Show, we have Nick Hamilton.
My name is Hamilton.
He is a sports and pop culture guru. You can hear him on SB Nation Radio talking about the Raiders, but we have him on for a special reason. Nick, it's our 1 year anniversary.
Woo! Hey, man, congratulations to y'all, man. That's big. And, 1 year is big.
And after a year here, you are a guest again because you were our first guest on our very first show when Mike and I interviewed you regarding what else? The Lakers.
Hey, man, I appreciate it. I have a shot of Ciroc for y'all tonight.
We appreciate
that. And on top of that, I mean, I've worked with Nick for, God, 3-4 years, I believe it was. And now he's, Dude, you're big time working with Rogan and Rodney, and you're on TV, and then all the radio airwaves. Man, you're everywhere.
Hey, man, I appreciate every opportunity I get, man. I just take advantage and, you know, getting a step closer to where I want to be, man.
Yeah, this is a guy that works his butt off. But, tonight...
We wanted to get you on before we couldn't afford you anymore, actually. Yeah.
That's part of it. Man, come on now.
Well, Jamal, what's been going on?
Well, I guess we'll jump right in it. So we're here. It's day... I guess it's day two, but really it feels like day 50 of the Kawhi Leonard watch. The Lakers are one of the three teams in pursuit of Kawhi Leonard. But before we jump into Kawhi Watch, I think we want to do a little background on in your opinion on what your thoughts were when they were able to get AD first.
Well, I mean, I wasn't surprised. Let me be absolutely clear when I say that I was not surprised. That had been something in the works for a very long time. It was just a matter of how it was going to be worked out. Obviously, the players have changed. When you look at Dale Demps and Magic Johnson, both. One was fired, one walked away. So it gave clear room for a fresh regime, even though Gail Benson, who is wants to still consider herself the owner, had an issue, quote-unquote, with the Lakers, but that's another conversation for another day. Enter David Griffin, who is a phenomenal basketball mind, absolutely outstanding GM, facilitated deals in Cleveland. Now you see what he's doing in New Orleans, and he was between – him, Rich Paul, who was the head of Clutch Sports, along with LeBron, who also shared a great relationship. It was only a matter of time before Anthony Davis was going to be sent out to Los Angeles. And the thing about it is, AD and his time in New Orleans was done. It was time for them to move their separate ways and start fresh. I mean, they had an opportunity to get the number one pick, Zion Williamson. So it was only a matter of time before you saw Anthony Davis come in, and because you knew when Anthony Davis was going to set foot in Los Angeles as a Laker, being probably more than likely the future of the Los Angeles Lakers, it only opened up more doors for the Lakers and as far as eyeballs can see and what was going to happen after the fact.
Did you think that they were going to be able to open up the cap space when all the stuff that came out about Rob Pelinka not knowing the deadlines, or at least not being able to get to the deadlines, that kind of stuff that was floating around?
Yeah, I mean, there were a lot of question marks about Rob Pelinka. I mean, hell, there's been question marks about the entire Lakers front office. I mean, for that matter, I mean, we were still questioning months prior where they're going to ever get Anthony Davis to begin with. And then if they did, how are they going to facilitate that in a way where they didn't have to gut the farm in order for them to continue to function in a better direction? So they were able to keep Kyle Kuzma. But then also, too, credit goes to LeBron James as well, because LeBron was able to talk to Anthony Davis enough to say, look, man, pass up on the $4 million. You'll make that back. Let's free up some cash so we can get some help out here. So Anthony Davis was gracious enough to pass up, you know, go ahead and sign off on the $4 million. And then Rob Pelinka was able to free up cap with Mo Wagner and a lot of other guys that they were able to send off to the Washington Wizards. That freed up a lot of cap space as well. And then lo and behold, they had $32.1 million for another max player. And the Lakers were always going after another max player. The B plan was, hey, we can't get a max player, then we're going to go ahead and spread the money out, and we're going to go ahead and build the roster a little bit easier way to build out the roster. But their main frame was to get a superstar, and that superstar happened to be Kawhi Leonard.
Going back really quickly, you touched upon it. There was a lot of drama, negative drama, with the Lakers, starting with Magic Johnson's rough exit, and then basically all the drama that unfolded after that. But with this AD trade, what is the perception of Rob Pelinka now, and what can he do to try to get this Kawhi deal done?
Well, the thing about it is, I think there's a little bit more confidence, not just Rob Pelinka, but the Lakers front office. As I've said numerous times before, not just on this show here, but shows beforehand, that Jenny Buss is an incredibly brilliant individual. I mean, she would not be in the position she's in if she wasn't brilliant and she didn't know what she needed to do to get the job done. Mind you, this woman had to go to court against her brother to rescue the team from a relic to try to turn the team around in the right direction. So I had no quarrels about Jeannie Buss figuring it out. It was just the front office that was in disarray. Rob Pelinka, who clearly had no prior experience as being a general manager and now the president of basketball operations. So there was a lot going on with that. And I think if you're Rob Pelinka, you know, you just have to continue to go along with what LeBron and Clutch Sports and hopefully Magic Johnson put in a good word as far as the franchise itself, because it's not about Rob Pelinka, it's about the Lakers franchise. And I think Rob Pelinka understands that. That's why he's kind of set himself back, you know, back a ways and said, okay, look, I'm gonna let it take its course. And if you've noticed, the Lakers have been extremely quiet after they had their meeting with Kawhi Leonard. They haven't said a peep. And it's ironic that they haven't said a word, because tomorrow will mark the one-year anniversary that they signed LeBron James to a four-year contract. Obviously, 3 years with a four-year option.
So obviously we're in caps. They freed up the cap space, so here we are in Kawhi watch. So do you think that they made the right move by waiting for Kawhi, especially how it's sort of taken a little bit longer, versus, you know, sort of getting assurances and then moving on? Or would you have preferred them just sort of move on and then start trying to spread it around and get some of these guys that they've already missed out on?
Well, if the Lakers felt like they didn't have a great chance at Kawhi Leonard, they would have moved on. There are some smart people over there. They have a great analytics department, a great scouting department. And again, you have one of the best players in the game in LeBron James, as well as Anthony Davis. If they felt like, you know, look, Kawhi may not be coming, we don't have a strong fit, they would have moved on. So I believe they knew that Kawhi, they have a strong fit with Kawhi. I think they had a great connection with Kawhi. Again, LeBron James, being the great recruiter that he's been thus far with Kawhi, the two were friends, so there was some history there as well. So I think Kawhi is in the driver's seat. I think the Lakers are very, very confident. They don't want to piss off Kawhi Leonard by leaking out anything. That's why, if you notice, they've been extremely quiet. And then they'll move on to some other players. I mean, they have other options as well. I mean, I know the Lakers, and as I reported, you know, some of the guys that they were looking at and had mutual interest in, like Seth Curry. And I believe that if Seth was still been around and there were no offers made, they probably would have went after Seth Curry after a while. But, you know, it's hard to pass up that money when you're in Dallas, Texas, with no state tax.
And I guess the real question is, what's your gut feeling about what Kawhi Leonard decides to do?
I think he's a Laker. I mean, from all intents and purposes, from the reports that I've gotten, a couple of people that I've talked to, it's pretty much the Lakers. All the Lakers can do is screw it up, and I doubt that they do that. I think the Lakers, again, are a very smart franchise. They know what they have to do. They've adhered to Kawhi's wishes of keeping everything under wraps until he's ready to make a formal decision and a formal announcement. If you notice that that was the first team he met with, had a phone conversation with the Clippers, and obviously today he went to go talk to the Toronto Raptors out of respect for that franchise, what he's done for that organization. And then also, too, we probably won't hear a decision until I would say no later than the 4th of July, because when you look at it, too, it's not just a basketball situation, but it's a business situation. You know, he's with New Balance. New Balance has had numerous conversations with him and the Lakers as far as the designing of the shoe, what they want to do with Kawhi in Los Angeles as well as in the IE where he's from. So there's some things that they're going to do with Kawhi Leonard if he decides to come with the Lakers and suit up on the purple and gold. He's actually meeting with New Balance tomorrow to discuss a few things as well as far as his future in the NBA. So there's some very promising tidbits that are going on right now. So we're going to have to just wait for Kawhi's decision to continue to be on Kawhi watch.
So, Nick, what you're saying about the Lakers is absolutely true. You know, you go in the history of sports franchises in America or across the world, and the Lakers are probably 1 or 1A, or they're in the top three in the history of the universe, right? But
yeah.
If you could say that there's been a low point in the Laker credibility, it's probably been in the last few years and certainly in the last couple months. So with all that you're saying right now, if you could give credit to the person within the organization that should get the most credit for turning this around pretty much on a dime, right? Who would you say that goes to? Would it be to Pelinka, to Jeannie Buss, to Magic on the outside, to LeBron on the inside, to Clutch Sports just in general? Where would you assign some credit there?
Well, I think it's a collective effort, to be quite honest with you. When you look at what the Lakers have come from, 6 straight years, no playoff appearances, they've struggled. Last year, obviously, they struggled really bad. Due to injuries and things of that nature. So I have to give some credit to Jeannie Buss, who's being the owner. You have to give some credit on the outside to Magic Johnson, who's a Laker through and through, no matter if he's there or not. You have to look at LeBron James, and like I said earlier, the recruiter that he's become, Clutch Sports, because if it wasn't for Clutch Sports and getting Anthony Davis, we wouldn't even talk about Kawhi right now. Kawhi would not even be looking at the Lakers as an option, as a viable option, if Anthony Davis had not landed in Los Angeles. So I look at it in that particular manner. And then, so you got to give some credit to Rob Pelinka as well, because you have to look at, you know, Rob had gone through a lot of different things. He had to learn on the fly. So, I mean, you have to look at that as well. So I think it's some credit all the way around across the board.
And so if Kawhi's going to be a Laker, then what does that leave for the Clippers? What do you think goes on with them?
I think with the Clippers, you have to look at it from this standpoint. I think when you're looking at what they tried to do, and I think the Clippers have come a long way. I mean, you look at Steve Ballmer, what he's done and tried to change the attitude and the mystique of the franchise as far as not letting it be a joke or a laughingstock like it once was. He's built up that front office very well. You look at what Jerry West and Lawrence Frank, Doc Rivers, you saw what the team did last year with hardly any superstars at all. They traded away their best scorer in Tobias Harris midway through the season and still wound up in a 50-game season, took 2 games from the NBA champion Golden State Warriors at that time. So they built up. But I think the Clippers' issue was they put all their eggs in one basket. And whenever you do that, when you put all your eggs in one basket, it's never a solid gamble when you do that. So I think when you look at, what they've done, I think, like I said, they went ahead and re-signed Patrick Beverley and on a 3-year deal. He took less money actually to come back to the Clippers because there was a deal on the table with the Sacramento Kings that could have offered him way more money. Excuse me. So he decided to come back to the Clippers. So that speaks volumes to the Clippers as well. And they made some other signings also. You know, as far as trying to continue to remain under the cap and not mess up their max money. And then they had offers for Gallinari as well, but then as the days progressed, those offers became less and less for teams to take on Gallinari's contract to try to add a second max player to go along with it. And I think that was Kawhi's concern as well is with the Clippers is who's going to be the next guy to join me with this team. With the Lakers, you knew exactly what you're going to get. You already have LeBron James, you have Anthony Davis, you have Kyle Kuzma. With the Clippers, that was one of the bigger question marks for Kawhi because if you saw what he did in Toronto, he pretty much carried that team on his back, even though you had Kyle Lowry and guys like that. But the main guy was Kawhi Leonard. So I don't think he wants to go through that again, especially him playing only 60 games a year. And when you're in the Western Conference and you got a guy that takes load management very seriously, those 22 games can be very, very costly. It could put you in the top four position or the low four position, or even out of the playoffs if you're not doing well. And so I think that was a little too much for Kawhi wanted to handle. But, again, we'll find out what Kawhi's decision is. But if he decides to completely pass on the Clippers, as I reported yesterday, then the Clippers are going to continue to be that blue-collar team.
And so then if Kawhi's with Anthony Davis and he's with LeBron, is that the team to beat in the NBA right now with Durant, you know, first going down and then leaving with Kyrie to go to the Nets, Klay Thompson being hurt for at least until February or March? Are the Lakers the team to beat if the three-headed monster comes together?
I don't know if they're the team to beat so much as if they're the favorite. Especially if they do get the big three in Kawhi, AD, and LeBron, and Kyle Kuzma as well. I think we're going to have to see how that bench is going to round out because with any championship team, it's not just about the superstar players, but it's also what's built around them. So I think if you are the Lakers, you have to be, you know, kind of concerned about what you're going to bring to the table. And then also, too, I think you have to look at other teams. I mean, you still have to look at the Milwaukee Bucks and what they're doing. I won't say the Brooklyn Nets because we have to wait a year and see how KD responds and comes back. Hopefully he comes back healthy. But I think in a couple of years, if the Lakers continue to do what they need to do, as well as the Brooklyn Nets, the NBA could get his dream wish in getting an East Coast, West Coast NBA Finals.
Oh, I'm sure that's exactly what they want. I think they've completely given up on the Knicks, or maybe most anybody's given up on the Knicks showing up for
everybody's that. Giving up on the Knicks. Come on.
The Knicks have given up on the Knicks. That's how bad it is.
Yeah. So if they're together, is that the best big three in the NBA?
Ever?
No. I don't know. Let me say this. I don't know ever, because here's when I look at big threes, obviously you have to look at Magic, Kareem, and Worthy. Right back in the 80s in the Showtime era.
Darn right.
Then I have to look at the latter part of the Bulls runs when you look at Dennis Rodman, Michael Jordan, and Scottie Pippen, right? Because Dennis Rodman was the best defender in the game during that time. And for him to join already a juggernaut in the Chicago Bulls with Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen, I mean, that was a big three. You have to look at Ginobili, Tony Parker, and Tim Duncan, that was a big three as well. And then you got to look at the Celtics with KG, Paul Pierce, and Ray Allen. And then obviously the other big three and LeBron, D-Wade, and Chris Bosh. So I don't know if they're the best in history, but they can definitely be in that conversation if they win a championship. Absolutely.
All right. So I think we'll get off of the Kawhi watch for now. Nothing's been announced. I'm still skeptical, but hey, you brought up a lot of good points. I trust your judgment on this one. I hope to see him in the purple and gold. Mike wanted to know about your take on this topic here.
Yeah, I mean, since you are covering basically everything under the Los Angeles sun, and we are heading into college football season, you know, very soon. From your perspective, what do you foresee for Chip Kelly's UCLA and Clay Helton's USC football teams?
I think Chip Kelly had a really good recruiting class this year. I think he had a much better recruiting class than he had last year. But I think it's going to take time to develop that culture. I think it's the first year that Chip Kelly's been able to really get his, you know, his fingerprints on the team. You know, it always, whenever you inherit a team as a big time coach, it takes a couple of years for you to really get your fingerprints and really be able to see what you can do with that particular program. We saw what happened at Oregon. We saw what, you know, so now we're able to witness what's going on at UCLA. So it's going to take some time. As far as Clay Helton is concerned, Clay Helton is coaching every game for his job. He's hoping he doesn't get left on the tarmac.
Yeah, seriously.
They are definitely giving him weapons to work with. But to me, I thought it was not wise of him to fire the entire coaching staff and then deal with the Cliff Kingsbury drama. And then you're dealing with Clay Helton in his final year. It's going to be tough, man. I mean, they got a tough road ahead. They don't have a lot of easy games this year on their schedule for USC, but they are talented. USC is immensely talented at certain positions, especially the wide receiver position. The defense should be a little bit better this year, but Clay Helton is definitely coaching for his job. I don't see them going past 6-6 this year. I really don't. I think that's the best they're going to do, maybe even 5-7. But I think it's definitely time for a new regime. And if they can get a certain particular coach who happens to be covering college football for Fox Sports in Los Angeles, who just came off a Rose Bowl victory that Matt Leiner and Reggie Bush happened to be talking to two former Trojans who have been there, maybe from what I've talked to a couple of the boosters that are willing to shell out some money and give him a blank check and say, what do you want to do and how long do you want to do it for? So if they're able to do that, I think that could turn USC around. And then, unfortunately, Mike, UCLA will be in serious peril.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one thing that we fear. And unfortunately, it might happen sooner than later because this week there was a story that a former assistant was forced out because he witnessed – money exchanging hands between former defensive coordinator Clancy Pendergast and it doesn't matter. The fact that there was money exchanging hands and someone was wrongfully terminated, yeah, that doesn't help. And if these allegations are true, you know, Clay Helton could be gone before the season.
Well, if you raise an excellent point, the key word is if these allegations indeed are proven to be true, then yes, it's going to definitely give a blacker eye to the program and to the coaching staff as well. I mean, but let's be honest. This happens across college football all the time. It's just about who gets caught and who doesn't. It happens all the time. Payola is real deal. It happens across the college football landscape, at least amongst the D1 perspective when it comes to college football, because college football is big business, especially D1 schools, you know, and those who are in the Power 5 conferences. So this happens all the time.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I wasn't surprised when I first heard about it, because we've heard this before.
Yeah,
you know, we've heard this from other universities that have bounced back from it. You know, it just seems like USC gets the bullseye because of what happened prior when they got the modern day death penalty for something that, again, goes on in the college football landscape because a couple of people were pissed off at the university. That's all it was.
Yep.
Had nothing to do with anything. I mean, did they commit a major crime like some universities we know that covered up major crimes? No.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for my Cal Bears to put up some payola so we can have some winning seasons or something.
You gotta drop those harsh education standards too. That kind of doesn't work.
But then we're just Stanford and we can't do that.
Damn.
We can't be like them. No.
So again, you guys got a dilemma ahead of you, but I'm sure you'll figure it out. You got smart people up there at Cal. You'll figure it out at some point.
I don't know about that, buddy. So I want to thank Nick for coming on tonight again with us on the West Coast Bias Show. You can reach him on Twitter at Nick Hamilton LA.
My name is Hamilton.
And of course, you can hear him on the airwaves. Are you going to be on Rodney and Rogan this week, or?
I don't know as of yet. It's a short week and it's a holiday.
Oh, that's right.
So
I forgot.
I don't know, but I will say this much. You can follow me on Instagram at Nick Hamilton LA as well. I'll be all over you. I'll be all over Twitter until this Kawhi situation has been put to bed and I can finally get a little bit of a breather and try to get a couple of days worth of rest. So please, Kawhi, do us all a favor.
Yes.
Announce the damn decision. Even
please.
If you got to go old school and open up a duffel bag and put out three hats.
Fax
and then
it.
Put on the hat that of the team that you're going to represent for the next 3 years, maybe 4 years. Because also, let me point this out real quick before I get away from you guys. I know there's been talk, and I've been hearing about talks about the Lakers offering him a 4-year deal around 140-ish. But he can also do this too. There's an opportunity for him to go with a 2+1 deal. In other words, 2 years, third-year option, opt out in 2021. And then because he's a 10-year veteran, he can get way more money on a longer max deal long-term. So, kind of keep that in mind as well. So we'll see what Kawhi decides to do.
Yeah. There's a reason we have Nick Hamilton on tonight, one of the hardest-working sports journalists in Los Angeles. Nick, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thanks again, Nick. Appreciate
it. Hey, thank you guys for having me, man. And congratulations on your first anniversary, man.
Thank you, sir.
We're about to go get a beer or something one time.
Thank you.
Oh, we're way ahead of you there.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Y'all have a good night, man.
Good night.
Thanks once again for Nick Hamilton joining us on West Coast Bias. And you can listen to the rest of the West Coast Bias show and a little bit of the What's Bruin show all kind of smooshed together for the first time coming out right after this one comes out. So look for that. Thank you for listening. And the West Coast is for the best coast, I think. I think that's what you're supposed to say.
West Coast is the best coast, what I'm told.